is the Brian and Vinny Show. It is the 29th of October, 2013, here at figure4online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. Vinny is here.
It's me.
In studio. That's right. I made sure to mention in studio because in a while, Vinny's going to be doing a show or two from his house. What a lucky guy.
That is the plan.
That is the plan.
And I endorse this plan.
I have been on a roll the last few days, trying to work on some changes here. Some of you may have noticed on a Wrestling Observer Live that Mike Sempervivi sounded clear as day. We got him himself a really, really nice mic. And then we did the show through Skype, believe it or not. I was contacted a little while ago by a fella who wants to interview me for his website. They cover podcasts, broadcasting, whole nine yards. And he said, we'd really like to do the show via Skype. And I was like, I don't like Skype because I'm a snob. Because if you look around this room, sometimes it's like 8,000 degrees because I've got a giant mixer. I've got a phone so big that it's legitimately a foreign object. Like it's the size of Paul Heyman's old cell phone. I've got this gimmick here to take calls. I got the big ass computer. It's all hardware. And I don't like Skype. But this guy was like, we got to use Skype. Can you set up Skype? And I was concerned that my audio settings would be all messed up if I put Skype on the computer. But then I realized I've got a Mac. I switched to Mac. And so my theory was, if I put Skype on Mac, maybe everything won't get screwed up like on a PC. So I downloaded Skype, and lo and behold, it worked. Great!
Yay!
And it didn't screw anything up. So then I was listening to Art Bell, the best radio show all time, all my life. And he has a... he was dinking around a couple of weeks ago because he is also a geek. I should say that I am also a geek. He was the original geek. But the point is, he was messing around, and he used to have... Do you ever listen to the old Art Bell show?
I have.
He used to have the five lines. He had East of the Rockies, West of the Rockies, the wild card line. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so if he wanted, for example, to have time travelers call in, then he could set aside a line for time travelers. Now that he's on Sirius, there's only one phone number, which, believe it or not, is 1-855-REAL-UFO. That's the phone number.
That's tremendous.
So the problem is the one phone number patches to 20 different lines. So 20 people can be calling in at the same time, all on the same phone number. But the problem is now he can't have a time traveler line. And it made him very sad. So he was messing around on his computer, and he realized that, in fact, he could set it up so that he could take Skype calls. And once Art was taking Skype calls, I was like, well, Christ, quit being such an idiot, Brian. It's good enough for Art Bell, it's good enough for you. So tonight, we are going to experiment with Skype calls. And it's late at night, so you know that means all of the crazies are going to be calling into the show. And we're going to see how it works. We're going to test it out here. And if it works great, you'll have three different options to call in from now on. You'll have the regular number, the toll-free number, and the Skype number. So you can call in from anywhere in the universe. So that's what we're going to do here tonight. And it's going to be a good time. Now, because I've been going crazy with all this stuff, I did not watch SmackDown.
Any wrestling.
I did not watch NXT. I did not watch... I guess that's pretty much it. But I'm going to get back on track next week. But for tonight, Vinny's going to do SmackDown. I will do Raw with him. And then we're going to wait here for the crazies to call in. That's going to be the plan. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Well, what are we waiting for then, Vinny? Start with SmackDown.
SmackDown was pointless.
And be ready to be interrupted by a call.
I'm always ready to be interrupted.
All right, good.
I've been ready to be interrupted for years.
Good.
So, we watched the pay-per-view on Sunday, then Raw on Monday, and then I watched SmackDown on Tuesday, literally just in time to make it over here where I then sat on the couch for an hour as you dinked around with the Skype and everything. So, yeah, it was a waste of time.
If you only knew how much time I've wasted in the last 3 days screwing around with stuff. Nonstop. 3:30 a.m. last night I went to bed. Up at 9, because I couldn't even help myself. I just had to get back to work on this stuff.
There were knobs going unfiddled with?
Yeah, I've been fiddling. Look at that thing behind you. Looks like a landfill or something like that. There's boxes, there's knobs, there's metal. It's hot.
I've got some equipment over there. So, SmackDown. So, the first thing that happened was Michael Cole interviewed Hunter Hearst Helmsley. And as mentioned, or as I started to mention, I had already watched the pay-per-view, or I had already watched Raw, so nothing on the show was going to matter. But I thought at least I might get some good wrestling out of it. What I got here to start was two men in chairs talking. This is not what I was after. They repeated everything that had already been said. Hunter said Sean was the special ref and he's going to do the right thing. Cole said, what is the right thing? And before Hunter could answer, Daniel Bryan interrupted. He reminded Hunter that Sean was his own man. And then he vowed to win the title and be the face of the company. Then he said yes a lot, and that was it. This segment accomplished nothing.
Yes.
You turned your volume up, I assume.
Well, I was sending, I was alerting the world that they can now attempt this Skype experiment. So mm-hmm. I had my volume down.
Right.
All right, go for it.
Usos had a short match with the Wyatts. Miz was on commentary. And when the Usos started their comeback, Miz jumped up and attacked Bray Wyatt. Hit him one time. Then he ran like a coward. He baited Eric Rowan into chasing him. So Rowan chased Miz backstage. Luke Harper was A, distracted, and B, left alone. And the Usos hit a double superkick and pinned him.
Sounds exciting.
AJ versus Nikki Bella. Remember last week when Brie was wrestling and Nikki attacked Tamina and destroyed her?
Mm-hmm.
This week, Nikki was wrestling and Brie attacked Tamina and got her ass kicked. And Tamina destroyed her and threw her into the stairs. And then immediately, AJ tapped out Nikki with a Black Widow.
Not good.
Complete destruction. This is before Raw. Had a John Cena hype video. And then Bray Wyatt brought a camera crew backstage.
Hold on a second. Bray Wyatt brought a camera crew?
Basically.
Oh, he found a camera crew that was already there.
Yes.
Okay.
He went out.
I pictured he had some rednecks with...
Actually, that could have been awesome.
You know.
But no, he grabbed a WWE camera and said, follow me. And they had chained Miz to something. They had torn his shirt up and written liar on his chest. Apparently beaten him unconscious, put a sheet mask on him. And Miz's hair actually looked much better, all messed up and hanging in front of his face, than it usually does slick back.
All right, hold that thought. We've got a caller here on the air. Gabe, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on, Brian?
What's happening?
Not much. Calling all the way from Iwakuni, Japan.
From Japan.
Cool.
Can you hear Vinny?
I hear Vinny.
What's cool. going on?
Not much. I just saw your tweet and I thought I'd call in and see what was going on.
So
to help you experiment.
It must be about 5 a.m. there, right?
No, wrong way. It's about 5 p.m.
5 p.m.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what are you doing over there in Japan?
I'm in the Navy working on a Marine Corps air base.
Working on a Marine Corps air base. How do you like it there? I always ask the wrestlers how they like Japan. Is it someplace that some people love it and never want to leave, and some people are just go absolutely crazy?
That is absolutely correct. This is my second time here. I married a local. So
life's good.
Yeah, I really do love Japan. And there's people who just get stationed here and never leave. And there's guys who never leave their barracks room the entire 3-4 years they're here and hated every second of it and try to get back to the States as quickly as possible.
Anybody go really crazy? I don't mean like, you know, violence or anything, but.
Not about being in Japan.
Sure, just flip their lid.
Yeah, I don't think so. We've had guys that just didn't come back home and, you know, eventually got picked up by the cops for desertion.
That's not
good. Oh, dear. That's bad.
Happened with Randy Orton.
I've seen some Randy Orton like moments around here.
All right. Well, Gabe, I want to thank you very much for helping us out here. And it worked. We got a call from Japan. And this guy here is actually calling us on the phone line. He doesn't understand the gimmick here tonight. I'm not going to pick it up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's continue on and see who else calls.
All right. So, yeah. Miz actually, like I say, the beat him up and roughed him over and knocked him out. But if he ends up with a new look out of it, that'll be a plus. So. Los Matadores wrestled. Guess who? That was a question for Brian Alvarez.
I would say 3MB.
It was three-man band.
All three of them or just one?
No, only two. Not gender, the other two. I don't think Ric Flair and Sting wrestled each other as often as 3MB and Los Matadores have wrestled since they debuted. So they did their usual stuff. The Matadors won with a assisted downward spiral. Zeb and the Real Americans had come out to watch. And then Jinder attacked afterwards, and they did some comedy spots with the Bull. I will say, having had, it seriously seems like a dozen matches together, but they have at least finding new and creative things to do with the Bull afterwards.
Well, that is good.
That is a bunch of different comedy spots they have. Zeb cut a promo on them. He accused them of deviant behavior. Messing around with a midget in a costume.
All right, actually, oh, someone's trying to get through, but he keeps hanging up. I don't know why. All right, go on.
Paul Heyman and Ryback came out to face a mystery opponent. Heyman explained that they had a 2-on-1 handicap match at the pay-per-view. Tonight, they would demonstrate what a well-oiled machine they were together and how they could defeat any one man. And so out came their opponent, who Heyman identified as CM Skunk.
Yes.
And he said this, and as soon as he said CM, fans started to cheer. Like they would get a handicap match here tonight, and they played Punk's music and people were still cheering, and the guy came out and he was actually doing an awfully good CM Punk imitation. People going crazy. Then he took off the hoodie and he had in fact a skunk stripe painted into his hair. And the other problem with this, we have seen.
Hey, we got one call here. Sorry. What's going on?
Hi, Brian, Vinny. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, you're on the air.
This is Sammy from New Jersey.
Sammy, what's going on?
Not much. See that you... I got the Twitter feed on my text. I saw that you wanted to try out Skype. I'm calling from my Android tablet. It seems to be working okay.
That's good.
Awesome.
That's good. I had absolutely no idea who you were because your username appears to be just a jumble of letters.
Oh, probably... I might have to add you to my contacts, maybe, because my username shouldn't appear that way. It's my same on the subscription on the board with the Svetaz and stuff.
So. Yes, Svetaz.
Oh, that's not a jumble of letters?
Well, it has meaning from back in the ECW days and my initials. It's my initials and Taz. So.
I see.
I've had it since high school. What is this, open line? Just talk about anything we want?
Yeah, we're just doing open lines to test this out. And we got a guy calling from Japan. We've got you calling at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I'm at work right now. I figured take a break when I saw that.
Sure.
I am in the East Coast right now. Just two things. One related to this, to the call thing with the you offered the 800 number to everybody, and it surprised me when I realized there were people out there even with landlines who don't have unlimited long distance around here. Everyone I know, if they have a landline, has that. In my house, we have a device that hooks up to our Google Voice number, which allows us to make unlimited U.S. and Canada calls for free to any number, regardless of 800 or not. So I figured, I know when people call it 800 number, it costs the carrier money. Like in your case, it would cost you money. That's why you ask people when they have long distance to call the 425 number.
That's right.
Just thought I'd throw that out there. There's like a device I got for like on Amazon for $40-$50. That people could look it up just to hook up a home phone to it.
I didn't think anybody had landlines, but I as soon as I made that 800 number available to everybody, I got like 40 calls the first time we opened up the lines from landlines.
That's surprising. I think maybe more in the middle of the country, people probably don't have access to like unlimited. I'm in the next to New York, so it's a lot of more options around here, I guess.
Sure. Sure.
With regards to wrestling or whatever's going on in the world, I was pretty angry Sunday night. Like it kind of ruined my night. I felt like a big angry nerd mark. For a little while.
Nerd.
Only because... Huh?
Nerd.
Yeah, nerd. Okay, fine. I was a nerd. I was a wrestling nerd on Sunday. An angry wrestling nerd. because I was disappointed with the show. It wasn't so much the ending that, oh, Brian didn't win, more than it was the way that it played out. It just felt, it felt like, let's try really hard to come up with a stupid finish. And it's like, you know, I think they try too hard to do silly things. And I think there are simpler, if they're going to be silly, or they're going to be stupid, or they're going to do things that, in this case, I guess a lot of people wouldn't like, they can do it a lot simpler. Like Michaels could just super kick him. You don't need to have all the convoluted entry into the cage. And when he finally super kicked him, it looked like he was just standing there for a while, like the whole conflicted storyline. It just felt, it made me angry because I've been a lifelong fan since before I can remember. When pretty much my earliest memory is watching WWF on television doing homework. And I guess ever since WrestleMania 17, when the Attitude Era ended, I've never felt a period of time of enjoyment of WWE, more like moments that matter or situations that matter. And then after they happen, like CM Punk or ECW One Night Stand, it's like, okay, so how is the E going to screw it up? And it just seems like after all these years, like, you'd feel it'd be good change, and I just don't feel it yet. I was planning to go to New Orleans. I was at WrestleMania 29 in Jersey. And after that pay-per-view, I'm really considering, I don't know if I want to spend the money to fly down there for expensive tickets, maybe for the Raw if I decide to go, but I'm losing faith, and I've been a lifelong fan. It's hard to let go, and it's just, I'm sure a lot of people are that way, but I'm going to keep trying and see what happens.
Well, you're not the only one. I want to thank you very much for the call. Thanks for the helping us out with the test here. And he's not the only one that feels that way.
No.
No. He's better off than the guy that got fired at Comcast for giving refunds for Battleground. That poor guy.
That sucks.
Called in a couple days ago. All right, let's continue on.
Okay, so yeah, I brought up CM Skunk. All right, we have seen skinny indie geeks as jobbers lately in Impact when Ethan Carter's been wrestling them. And these are skinny geeks.
Mm-hmm.
And even in WWE, I just thought of this, they've had Ryback squash a lot of geeks, including, of course, Artie Evans. So this guy, whoever was playing CM Skunk, in way too good shape to be a jobber. In fact, he may have had bigger legs than CM Punk. So Ryback killed him forever. Heyman tagged in, beat him up with a stick. And then Ryback hit the shell shock and Heyman pinned him. And they vowed this would happen to CM Punk at the pay-per-view, which in hindsight was a lie.
Hotter than hell in here.
Big E went into Vicky's office, said, look, Miz is dead. I want his spot in the main event. Not I want revenge for him, mind you. Or I'm going to fight the Wyatts. Or boy, that's terrible what happened to Miz. Just, he's gone. I want a spot. She said she would think about it. He compared her to Brad Maddox. She got mad, called Maddox a bunch of names, and gave Big E the match. Del Rio came out for a promo, said Cena was coming back too soon, and the classy, sophisticated Latin people all loved him, and he told the fans to kiss his ass. Truth shields the merchandise, declared himself the best seller in the company.
I disagree.
Santino took over, and Santino was fine.
Did you see the Santino video I put in the update today?
I don't think so.
Oh my God.
I didn't watch the Kali one yet either.
That's what I'm talking about. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. I'm going to play it here in a bit.
All right. I was just blown away, and actually looking at some of the stuff you can get. And you, of course, you can get t-shirts. Of course, you can get belts. Of course, you can get action figures. But the fact there's a CM Punk basketball or John Cena moccasins, it's a real product.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Great Khali, speaking of, wrestled Fandango. The announcer said, and this is almost a word-for-word quote, Fandango was not happy about this match because Khali was uncoordinated.
Huh.
You don't say. So Summer tried to distract Khali. Natalya went after Summer. Summer slapped Natalya and ran into the ring. That was a DQ. Khali hit a Khali chop on Fandango. And as my notes here read, this was not worth my time. And in the main event, a long-ass 8-man tag with Randy Orton and The Shield versus Daniel Bryan and Big E Langston and the Rhodes Brothers. It was really good. It wasn't great. It did not need to go 20 minutes. I think it was more with commercials. They got the heat on Cody for a while. He made a hot tag to Goldust. They cut off Goldust for a while. He made the hot tag to Bryan. People loved Bryan. Everyone hit a big move. And finally, Orton set Bryan up for the RKO, but then Big E appeared behind him, shoved him, and Orton went stumbling right into a knee strike, and Bryan pinned him, which, of course, is a sign of doom. But all I could think of watching this was, things was just going nuts. They're all chanting yes and jumping up and down and pointing, and everyone's going crazy. And then, of course, this was his last match before he lost at the pay-per-view, and I thought, they decided they did not want this in their main event.
Yep.
They deemed this reaction bad.
Well, you know, he got this great reaction because he was working with Orton.
Oh.
You know?
I didn't know that, actually.
All right, listen to this.
And, yeah, I do feel vindicated. And it's funny because summer is a lot of talk, but not a whole lot of action. And you know, what do you think, baby?
You know, baby, you have not talent. You deserve.
I know.
You deserve. But I'm proud you win today. I'm very sure you win. So you make my dream is true. This is, you know, last time he slapped you, I'm so mad. But you mad too. But this, you know, today payback.
And payback?
Today payback. We should make fun. He is clearly trying so hard.
You make my dreams true.
Yes.
I'm going to use that line sometime on Witty. You make my dreams true.
Let me know how that goes.
So that was SmackDown.
It was.
What a show.
Mm.
All right. Hopefully this guy from Saudi Arabia calls in. He's looking for... he wants to know what time it is GMT. So I just told him right now. All right. So, by the way, everybody, I have begun to get the Halloween songs. And I've got a fair number of them. So if you want to get in on the contest, you have until Thursday. Send me your best Halloween song, obviously a Brian and Vinny style Halloween song, MP3 format, to brian@wrestlingobserver.com. Make sure you put song contest in the subject line. And the winner, what does the winner get, Vinny?
Bunch of candy?
A Halloween prize pack. It's going to be awesome. Halloween prize pack. You know, at class today, we did Boo Jitsu. We let all the kids wear their costume. You should have seen my pirate costume.
Are there photos?
Oh, yes.
Excellent.
There aren't a lot of them, but Witty took one photo that you should just put on the poster for Pirates of the Caribbean 5. An amazing outfit, if I do say so myself. I worked very hard on it. And then, we'll see if Witty wants to put her costume online. It's nothing lewd, obviously, but let's take this call. Matthew, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Not too bad. Where are you at?
I am in Austin, Texas. Can you hear me all right?
I hear you just fine.
Okay, you're a little loud. Hang on a second here.
Sorry about that.
I'll say he is.
Vinny, how are you doing, Vinny?
Good. What's up, man?
You should have heard me before I turned the volume, the output down.
Yeah, so what are we talking about here? Just anything?
Whatever you want.
Cool. Well, a couple things. The first thing I wanted to say is...
I turned my volume down a little, so does that sound a little bit better?
Don't interrupt the guest.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're fine now.
Okay, go on.
So the first thing I wanted to say is I've been listening to you guys since 2007, I think. And when I first started listening to y'all, I sent Brian a letter because I've always wanted to be a writer. And I sent him a very nice letter, and it was just... it basically said, Brian, you inspired me to start writing again, and I went on and on and on. And Vinny accused me of stealing all of your stuff.
Oh no,
Brian!
What a dick!
And Vinny, I just want to say, after all these years, I forgive you.
Thank you. That means a lot to me.
This is writing. Now, was it an email or did you send this through the postal mail?
No, so I sent you an email. And I think you read it on a show in 07. I can't remember
and
which
Vinny
one
was
it was.
And Vinny was just mocking you the entire time?
He ripped me to shreds, and
God,
I was devastated.
What a dick.
That's what people with low self-esteem do, is they attack other people to make them feel better about themselves.
Wow.
Well, that's okay. Anyways, so the other thing I wanted to talk about was, Brian, I think a couple of days ago you had talked to somebody about illegal streams.
Yeah.
And you had asked them about why they would buy UFC pay-per-views, but they wouldn't buy WWE pay-per-views.
Well, I asked them if they would.
Yeah, right. So, and he said that he would on occasion, right?
That's what he said, yeah.
And I'm the same way, but I think it's a little bit of a different reason for me. And the reason is that I can get people to come watch UFC, yes. And I can't get anyone to come watch WWE.
I found that out years ago when I did the poll, and I found that if people are inviting friends over for a pay-per-view, they'll buy it. But if no one's coming over, they'll stream it. And so the promotion least affected would be UFC, because you can get the most amount of people over. WWE would be second, and poor TNA was in a deep, distant third place.
Yeah, so I'm 27 now, and I'm married, and most of my friends are, and we're all kind of casual fans, but I think that's especially a problem, is if you're a casual fan, I think you can convince your wife or your family or even your roommates that it's cool to go watch a real fight that they consider a sport, but not really cool to go watch WWE anymore. So that's what I've experienced anyways. Lastly, one question, and then I'll get off so somebody else can get on. I wanted to know if y'all thought if WWE could get away with only selling merchandise and toys and t-shirts and video games and not actually produce any wrestling at all, if they would do it.
Do I think they would do it if they thought they could get away with it?
Yeah.
I don't think so. They'd still do wrestling. They might try and call it something else, but I think they'd still do pro wrestling. I don't know. What do you think, Vinny?
Yeah, go ahead, Vinny.
Well, I think even if they were just... Even if 100% of the money was coming in from merchandise, you would still need a wrestling program to show the merchandise.
Right. Well, I guess the premise of the question is if in a vacuum they wouldn't need the wrestling to be the vehicle for the merchandise and everything, if they could just do it. To me, sometimes it seems like with Stephanie McMahon that it's kind of a burden, the wrestling is, and that they would rather just sell toys and video games. So anyways,
prefer to just make money with without any work.
For
more
the
or
record.
Less, yeah.
That's my I want to thank you very much for the call, Matthew. Yeah, money, no work. That's the way to do it. This guy here says he really wanted to call in, but he's too lazy to put clothes on. What does he think we're doing here? This ain't a video podcast, dude. And then he said, please tell Vinny to be proud.
Okay. I am wearing clothes. I've got that over him.
We have some amazing, amazing listeners.
That's for sure.
If you're listening free, by the way, if you're a freeloader, just think you could get this all the time.
Only pay for it.
Sat for the best plug I've ever given here on this show. More where this came from. All right, Vinny, let's get going on Raw.
Okay. Where the hell were we?
That guy had a good mic headset. Oh, Sounded good.
We didn't start Raw yet, did we?
No.
Damn.
We were doing some songs.
All right. So John Cena came out with his World Heavyweight Championship belt. He asked the fans if they missed him. I believe the majority said no. He thanked JBL for talking crap about him, for saying he was coming back too early. So he had proven JBL and everyone else wrong. Said he was back. He was sure to mention he was going back to SmackDown 2. Also sure to mention that he would be on the European tour. Talked about how great he was for a while and his music played, and out came Damian Sandow. Damian said it was humanly impossible to come back from a triceps tear as quickly as Cena had. Cena must still be hurt. Teased cashing in his briefcase.
Or something.
Then teased not doing it. And then he attacked Cena with a briefcase. Hit him in the bad arm with a briefcase about a dozen times. Slammed it into the post in the barricade. Rise above this, he shouted. And then finally, he laid Cena's arm on the stairs, slammed it with a chair. Then he declared, my time is now. And he cashed in his briefcase. So he called down for a ref. Place is going crazy. They had a shot of a very distressed John Cena fan who thought her hero was done for. And then he went to commercial. Total buzzkill.
You know why? The goddamn World Series.
I didn't know why. I thought they had like a 10-minute segment here. And I thought if you announce the match and then have a commercial, then the match starts, that will draw in viewers. It made sense to me. But as someone who was watching it, it was a buzzkill.
The idea was the first three innings of a baseball game are often the most exciting.
Okay.
And so they wanted a long, long John Cena segment in the opening deal.
Well, they got one. And after the break, Cena had gathered himself. He looked mentally sharp, and he looked, it wasn't like sweating or out of breath or anything, but his arm was hanging limply at his side. And all they could do at first was just throw some kicks. So Sandow cut him off. He hit every arm lock, shoulder lock, and wrist lock you could think of. In about 5 minutes, had another commercial break. Then they came back, and Damian Sandow was not small, but Cena picked him up with one arm and hit an AA. They teased the count out, and the doctor was also teasing stopping the match because of Cena's arm, which is, I thought it was actually great that they were teasing a referee stoppage even when Cena was winning on him.
Winning on him.
Mm-hmm. So they had a very, very good match. Went back and forth a lot. People were in all the near falls. Cena would like try the STF, but he couldn't lock the hold in because his arm was useless. And Damian was hitting all his moves, including a full Nelson slam, which is apparently his finisher now, which I don't recall him winning any matches with before this. And finally, Damian teased a pile driver, which obviously he did not hit. And then Cena escaped, hit another one-armed AA for the win. It was a hell of a match. It was better than most of the pay-per-view. Probably not as good as the tag match, but better than anything else. And Damian Sandow is now the second man to cash in his briefcase and fail to win the title, joining John Cena.
I actually wrote about that about 3 months ago. And unfortunately, it came to pass. I thought that when he wrestled... Who the hell did he wrestle? Was it Alberto Del Rio that he wrestled couple of weeks ago?
Babyface experiment?
What was the babyface experiment? Was it Alberto?
Would have been, yeah.
Anyway, the point is, I remember watching that match and I was like, you know what? Dude ain't ready. He's not ready for a babyface run. He's not ready to be a top guy. I like Sandow, but he's not ready. Changed my mind. I don't think he's ready to be like the world champion. I guess it doesn't matter because, like, Jack Swagger's been the world champion. But I do think that he was awesome in this match. I think this was the best match of Damian Sandow's career.
Yeah, probably.
I thought that he did just a great job as a main eventer. And I was really impressed. I thought this match was great. And unfortunately, I did as much as I don't think Damian Sandow should be champion, when they were doing all the near falls... And then John Cena hit that damn AA. I was like, nah. Damn it. Here we are again.
Yep.
John Cena, Randy Orton, The Big Show.
Yes.
Triple H.
Yep.
Same old, same old.
2013.
And for God's sake, John Cena's coming back from a tricep tear, for crying out loud. I mean, you know, newsflash. He ain't going to be around forever. Yes. Let's start working on some other guys.
No, no, no. You just run him into the ground, and then you don't have any stars left. You say, well, it goes in cycles.
I don't like that idea.
Shield cut a promo backstage concerning Ambrose's title defense against Big E Langston. Dean Ambrose cuts awesome promos. I don't know if any of you were aware. Rollins admitted they made a mistake last night in underestimating Big E, but they would not make that mistake again. Then Dean pointed out that he was the only champion the Shield had left. And when he said this, Roman Reigns gave him the slightest, most subtle glare. It was so awesome. He just looked just a little bit annoyed with this man.
Did you see the one in the main event as well?
You mean after their match?
No, there was another Roman Reigns. In the main event segment, when Hunter... and Steph and Randy Orton decided they're going to have a group hug. They have a group hug, and they shot it in such a way that the only other face you could see was Roman Reigns, and he was just sickened.
I actually missed that.
It was great.
I missed that part. So the... totally lost my place now. Yeah, okay, then they had the match. Dean Ambrose and Big E Langston. They showed the head-to-head collision from the pay-per-view in super slow motion. Then a close-up of Langston's wound in the ring, and then a close-up of the stitches under his eye. Sucks to be Big E. Well, not really, but in the short term. So, very quickly, Big E hit the ropes, and Roman Reigns pulled the ropes down, so Langston fell outside, and they all triple-teamed him for the DQ. Usos ran out to make the save, and they booked a six-man. So, Big E and the Usos versus the Shield. A by-the-number six-man tag, and that is in no way a bad thing. Got the heat on one Uso, comeback by the other. I don't know if they changed microphones or something, but there were a lot of... You could hear a lot of guys calling spots in the pay-per-view, and you can hear a lot of guys calling spots on Raw, too.
I think there were just guys yelling.
There may be guys shouting out spots at each other.
Yeah.
It's also possible. So eventually, everyone's running wild. The Usos are running wild and everyone. And then they turn around and Roman Reigns speared them both and covered one of them and pinned him. So he won the match for his team by himself, beat two men. And they all get together. And Dean Ambrose, rather than celebrate with his team, he just grabs his belt and holds it over his head, doesn't even look at him. And Roman shot him another, just a look. Trouble's brewing.
Hopefully, the last I heard, and God knows, things change all the time. Except in the case of poor Damian Sandow. Shield is going to be together for a while.
Good.
But the break will come someday.
Teams in wrestling pretty much exist to break up.
Unfortunately, yeah. They're the best team ever.
Well, that's probably true. But I don't think... This is going to be a slow burn. This is going to start. This is going to take a long time to unfold. I'm happy about all that. And by the way, it could still be a team. It is one or two guys. Well, not two, but one of the guys may not be in the team anymore.
I like the idea of two guys breaking off and he's a one-man team.
They could do that, too. Shawn Michaels came out for a promo. Got a mixed reaction. He said he owed Brian an explanation. And Brian came out. Fans told Sean he had sold out. Sean said he had planned to call everything down the middle. He had tried to call everything down the middle. And then Brian had laid out Hunter. He said, I know you don't like him. I know that people don't like him. But that's my best friend. That's the guy who was there for me in my darkest hours. So when he needed me, I was there for him. You don't need to be okay with that. You don't need to understand that. But I want you to accept my apology and shake my hand. Fans all said no, and Brian refused. So Sean tried again. He tried to play him a nice guy, and he said, look, I taught you a lot about wrestling. You've taken what I've taught you, and you've gone much farther. But there's one lesson I didn't teach you until now, and that final lesson is don't trust anybody in this business. Don't trust me. Don't trust your wife. Don't trust anyone. And then he asked for a handshake again.
Don't trust your wife.
That's what he said.
Sean married someone in this business.
He did.
Hope she wasn't watching.
So, Brian still refused. At this point, Sean healed on him, called him a disrespectful puke. He had spent 7 months saying Brian was not a B-plus guy. Now, he wasn't sure if Brian was or not, but he knew that I'm Shawn Michaels, goddammit. I'm an A-plus player, or always have been. Now, damn it, you shake my hand. So, Brian took his hand with a blank stare, then he dragged him to the mat and put him in the S-lock, and Sean screamed, and he fought, and finally he tapped out. And I was stunned. How much people cared when this retired guy in an angle, when he actually tapped out. That moment still meant a lot to them.
Mm-hmm.
So Brian released the hold, and the rest broke it up. And that was it. It was a great angle. I don't want to break, shock anyone, but Shawn Michaels is awesome.
That he is.
He is the best.
You know, a lot of people, I don't know what's going on with Shawn. I know a lot of people think he's going to have a match. He was telling everybody he's not going to have a match. The way I saw it was, especially since they moved Daniel Bryan in with the Wyatt clan, I think this was just a way to write Sean off TV again for a while.
This was the part where Bryan got his revenge.
Sure, and he could come back at some point, but...
they might.
This is not going to be Bryan and Shawn Michaels at Survivor Series or anything like that. I know that there are people I talked to... couple of days ago that think that Sean is going to do one more match, but not like anytime soon.
If Shawn Michaels is going to do a match, it's not going to be at Survivor Series.
No, it would be a WrestleMania match.
It would only be a WrestleMania.
I actually don't think it would be for a while, like maybe a few years.
I will say that in the past 2 weeks, I have gone from thinking Shawn Michaels will never, ever, 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 ever wrestle again to now I'm thinking there's like a 1 in 1,000 chance Shawn might wrestle again.
No, Shawn's going to do another match. It's guaranteed.
It is?
I mean, he's even said it.
I misunderstood what you just said then.
What do you mean?
I thought you said he was not going to do one.
No, I said he's not going to do it anytime soon. But he has said that his kids are little. And he thinks that one of these days, when they get old enough to understand what this is, it would be really cool for him to have a match for them.
I see.
So, and that's what WWE thinks as well. Someday he's going to do a match.
Okay.
But it's not like this is an angle to set up a match.
Yeah. Okay.
at the moment.
We are on the same page about this again. This was Brian getting his revenge, and now that story is done.
Let's take this call from Matt. You are on the air, Matt. What's up?
Hey, Brian.
You're very quiet.
Oh, everybody else is asleep in the house.
Oh.
Well, go wake them up.
Hold on. I'm going to try and bump you up a little bit. What's going on?
Oh, nothing. Just wanted to help you out with the experiment.
Well, I can hear you. Are we too loud?
Oh, no. You guys sound great.
Are you speaking into the microphone, or is it like across the room?
He's trying to be quiet, Vinny, because there's people asleep in the house.
Well, I realize that, but you can be quiet.
Okay, my ears just blew out. I literally nearly did a flip right there, Matt.
Oh, jeez.
That is much better, though.
Okay.
So what was the problem? Do you have it on mute?
No.
Something just changed.
Yeah, all of a sudden I can hear you.
Well, I am closer to the mic now. I've raised my voice a little.
That helps.
Good.
Well, what's going on out there, besides everyone being asleep? Oh, man, it went quiet again. Yeah, sorry, Matt. We lost you, but thanks so much for helping me out, though. I do appreciate that. Yeah, you can't win them all.
Nope. I actually forgot we were taking calls for a while there.
Literally, I nearly did a flip when it went that loud. That scared
it wasn't
the
just that it was
bejesus
quiet.
Out of me.
It sounded, like I say, like he put a microphone in one corner of the room and then went maybe like down the hall.
Well, you know, some people don't...
I'm sure he probably doesn't have a professional mic, I'm guessing.
I do appreciate you calling in, though, Mike. Thank you very much for that.
He may have just had it on his iPad. Thank you for calling. Yes, we do. I swear to God, I'm not trying to be a dick.
It's just how he is, everybody.
That's just how I am. Renee Young interviewed Brian backstage. And then she saw something. And she backed away. She didn't warn Brian of anything. She just covered her own ass and fled. So Brian's left standing there, whipping his head around, not knowing what's going on. And the screen goes black. And when it comes up, the Wyatt family's beating him up. So apparently, Luke Harper and Eric Rowan snuck up on him. 600 pounds of man he failed to spot.
Snuck up.
They beat him up for a long time. Bray slammed him into a fence and then rammed a cart into his head. And they went to the announcers. The announcers were all very solemn and disturbed by this. And JBL, in a solemn, disturbed tone, said perhaps they did not like the disrespect Brian had shown Shawn Michaels.
I did like the idea that they're Shawn Michaels fans. That's why they did what they did. Makes sense to me.
Aye, sure.
I'd have beat the guy up.
I did like, later in the show they were talking about it. And JBL said, can you imagine if a great champion like Harley Race wanted to shake my hand? I'd be thrilled. And Cole said, well, what if Harley Race had just cost you your championship? And JBL said, I would still be thrilled. That made me laugh.
Easily amused.
Not easily amused enough, because then Los Matadores wrestled three-man band.
I am sick of this feud.
This is bullshit.
I am officially sickened of this feud.
Now, that being said, they know it's the same shit every time. They are trying to do something new. They're doing their best. So two things. One, Torito had a black bull costume this week. More importantly, Heath Slater, somehow, well, he went to a hardware store, but he had a giant fishing net. And Heath Slater was playing the part of Elmer Fudd, trying to hunt down the little bull. It's bull season. So he chased him under the ring. And he went to get him under there, and he lifted up the apron of the ring very slowly, very slowly, very slowly. And a fire extinguisher blasted him in the face, and he turned around, wiping his eyes, and Torito gored him in the ass. And Heath Slater dove forward, waving his hands in the air, and splattered on the ground. Matadors won, and then they put Heath Slater in the net, and Heath selling being trapped in this net was phenomenal. And then Torito hit a springboard tope on him, and that was great. So, God bless Heath Slater, but I don't need to see this anymore.
He gored him in the ass.
That is what he did.
That is what he did, everybody. It was unacceptable. I am sick of this feud. I am very upset that the bull has not been giant swung, and it appears that that feud is over and it never happened. I don't know. I guess it's too early. But it better happen one of these days.
They had a commercial for all their pink merchandise, and I wasn't fast forwarding. I was just up and doing stuff while I was on. And I realized like halfway through that the narrator for this commercial was Dolph Ziggler. And they never showed him. They never named him. He was just doing the voiceover. So apparently he's already started on his post-WWE career.
Now you got to start somewhere.
Did fine. Speaking of feuds that just won't die, the Bellas versus AJ and Tamina. You will recall that on SmackDown, AJ and Tamina laid waste to the Bellas. Here, they laid waste to the Bellas. Tamina wrestled the whole match, kicked both their asses, at one point was using one Bella to attack the other, like a weapon. Then after all of this destruction, she tagged in AJ just so AJ could hit the Black Widow and win. Embarrassing domination.
Wait till the Bellas feud, Vinny. That's going to be a feud for the ages.
Speaking of embarrassing domination, Kane wrestled Miz. Miz had to limp out, trying to act all tough. Kane killed him to death. Miz got one move. Then Kane hit a chokeslam and pinned him. And then things got weird. Kane called out Stephanie. She came out on stage. He said she had been on a power trip, manipulating authority and ruining lives. And then he got kind of quiet and said this was best for business. And so, the monster is yours to unleash. He said this without any conviction or passion. And he walked up the ramp. He removed his mask and his wig, handed them over, and went backstage. And Steph held them up. So Kane is apparently going to be Steph's flunky now.
Unmasked.
Unmasked, and for no reason.
Well, actually, there is a reason. He's got a movie coming out, and so he's going to be doing a lot of public appearances, not in his mask.
Mm.
So they figure we'll just take the mask off the guy.
I was more, when I said for no good reason.
Oh, why he's with Stephanie?
Yes.
No good reason.
He has abandoned getting revenge on the Wyatts.
Especially since they had the deal in the main event and they need a lot of help. And where was Kane?
Don't know. I can only assume that perhaps Kane was an investor in Big Show's strip mall that went out of business. So he's broke too.
That's possible.
That's my best guess. Primetime players were trying to sell merchandise. Not nearly as good as Truth. Titus said you can buy the world championship belt, and then Darren Young said, or you can buy the Divas belt. Yep. Coincidence, I'm sure. They showed David Otunga looking over Big Show's lawsuit, determining that Big Show had a case.
Complete babyface now.
I suppose. I wouldn't say this is a man I wanted to cheer for. He came off like a lawyer reading a brief.
Well, that's what he was.
Boring, in a boring manner.
But he's going to help the Big Show.
I see.
And he's going to help the Big Show win control of WWE or something.
He said this could cost Vince McMahon control of the company.
Yeah.
CM Punk came out for a promo. He pointed to the bags under his eyes and said, it doesn't look like it, but I slept like a baby last night. That was funny. Said he beat up Paul Heyman at the pay-per-view, then all that was left to deal with was Ryback, and I was very confused, because what I saw at the pay-per-view was CM Punk destroyed Ryback and pinned him. I wasn't sure what was left to settle, but they had a match here. So Punk and Ryback, the fans could pick the stips, and they would pick Street Fight. So they used a kendo stick, they used a table, they teased going through the table a couple of times, and then Punk hit a high kick. And Ryback, after being hit with his high kick, you've never seen a man so deliberately place himself onto a table. It was awesome. And so Punk elbowed him through the table, put on the Anaconda vice, kicked part of the table away so the cameraman could get a better shot, and then Ryback tapped out.
An amazing run of failure by the Ryback. Right when he was supposed to start his new big run. Remember when they put him with Punk and it was like, you know, neither man should lose this match. And then Ryback lost, and then he lost again.
Mm-hmm. He lost again.
And people are still chanting Goldberg. They want to see the guy who never loses against the guy who never wins.
That is true.
What a great WrestleMania match that's going to be.
Oh, God.
If they wrestle, Goldberg's got to win. You know what I mean? I don't even care if he's just like in for one match. The storyline is such that he must win. It would be ridiculous for the tables to turn.
So Punk was celebrating when the Wyatts appeared to destroy him. And they beat him up for a long time and finally laid him out. And so apparently they're going to do Wyatts versus the Indy All-Star Dream Team of Punk and Bryan. Real Americans wrestled the Rhodes Brothers. It was fine. I do like that Dustin Rhodes in this, what ordinarily would be the twilight of his career, but is in fact one of his peaks, at least it has been for the past month. He's now adding aerial moves.
Yeah.
He's doing the reverse top rope body press in every match.
Uh-huh.
Which is for a... old for a wrestler guy who is 6'6". It's pretty amazing. So they had a match. And eventually Swagger clipped Goldust's knee, put him in the ankle lock, and won. So, a couple things. One, somewhat for the Real Americans feuding with the Matadors, I guess. That's just over.
Got that over with quick.
Mm-hmm. And two, Swagger got the win, not Cesaro. Maybe that doesn't matter, but it annoyed me.
I don't think that matters.
Del Rio came out with a promo, for a promo. He vowed to attack Cena's arm over and over again until it broke, and regained his title, and then he left. They had a deal for the video game where you could pick which dream match you wanted to see. Undertaker Goldberg got more than half the vote. Almost nobody voted for Daniel Bryan versus Ric Flair. So in this video game match, Goldberg got the heat, hit all his moves. And then Taker came back, hit all his moves, and then they didn't even show the finish. Cowards.
Did they have a bunch of people booing?
I don't think so. You think people would be booing Goldberger?
I don't know.
And yes, I did just say Goldberger. Natalya versus Summer Rae.
Dude.
Hmm.
Goldberger. Feed me more.
Oh, God.
Man, we could run a good wrestling company.
Or a restaurant.
You just talk, and it brings great ideas into my mind.
All I know about this Natalya Summer Rae match is that Summer Rae used a stump puller, which is a great move and needs to be used more often. Match went long, much longer than this crowd was willing to give it. And Fandango got up in the apron. Hornswoggle yanked him down. Fandango went after Hornswoggle. Kali laid out Fandango. And this made Summer Rae distracted. And so Natalya beat her with a sharpshooter.
It's exactly what happened, everybody. I thought that Summer looked good. Not that she's bad. You know, I've mentioned this for several shows and people just can't get it through their head. That Summer Rae is, in fact, very good given her level of experience. But her level of experience is only 1 year.
Yeah.
And you're asking her to perform in long matches on live television.
Yeah.
So it's not all her doing. Natalya is doing an excellent, excellent job carrying her. Doing it exactly how it should be done, which is you take it nice and easy, have this person do what they're able to do and not do what they're not able to do, keep it simple, and that's what they did, and it's been great.
So it was time for the Randy Orton Championship celebration. Triple H and Steph came out. They were accompanied by the Shield. The entire roster was up on the stage. So Hunter told a story. And the story was one day, about a decade ago, he picked a guy who was going to be a future star. He put him in Evolution. He mentored him. And he watched that guy blossom into being a champion. Now, the funny thing is, we've watched some DVDs. And this story Hunter told was exactly true. But he was talking about Dave Bautista. He specifically said, it's not going to be Randy, it's going to be Dave. Those were Hunter's exact words on DVD.
Well, he hasn't watched that DVD.
Maybe he hasn't. So they brought Orton out. Here was the group hug part. I did notice the group hug. I did not notice Reigns' expression.
It was great.
Orton cut a promo saying he was better than everyone. Droned on for a while about being superior, and Big Show's music hit. Yes, the fired guy who is suing the company who has a restraining order against him had his song played.
It'll all make sense. It'll all make sense.
Nobody stopped the Giant from coming out. He brawled with the Shield, but then the Rhodes and the Usos attacked. They dragged the Shield to the top of the stage, where everyone killed them. This was not a fair fight. So Show hit the ring. Orton bailed. Hunter bailed. Steph bailed. Show was cutting an angry promo on Hunter when Orton attacked him from behind with a belt. And then Hunter jumped up on the apron to scream encouragement. And then Show popped up and knocked Orton out. And then Show eyeballed Hunter and dared him to get in the ring. Hunter took his jacket off. Hunter unbuttoned his shirt. And then Hunter got down and ran away. And that was the end of Monday Night Raw. So, yes, the champions are Randy Orton and John Cena. And the other top guys are The Big Show and Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
It wasn't like a bad show, but like I said, I don't know. Big Show is not going to be around forever. John Cena gets injured all the time. I guess I shouldn't say all the time, but he's just coming off an injury. And I don't know. The one good thing I will say is when Daniel Bryan got beaten up by them Wyatts, I was like, oh God, this poor guy. Right down to the mid-card. Down to being a mid-card geek. But then the Wyatts came out and they attacked CM Punk. And these guys are going to be a tag team. So that I can at least take solace in. That should at least be good. Tag team match, you know?
It'd be a good tag team match.
Sure, be a good tag team program. All right, everybody. Let's do a quick song here before we wrap it up. And don't forget the Halloween song contest. We're going to play all of the songs on the Thursday Brian and Vinny Show with Granny. Granny obviously will like the ones that involve her. And do the best you can. MP3 format. Send them to me. And we'll play them on the show. And the winner gets a Halloween candy fun pack. There's nothing better than a Halloween candy fun pack. So let's play a quick song, give you an idea. Played this one the other day, and it was very popular, so I'm playing it again. CNC Wrestle Factory. Move! Move! Move!
Moves!
Move! Move! Move!
Moves!
Another move! A million moves! A million moves! A bunch of moves! A bunch of moves! Move! Move! The moves look good! Move! Move! The moves look good!
People in the house.
Move!
Right.
Move!
Right.
Moves a million. They do a million moves. As a fan, I was unmoved, coincidentally.
Ironically.
There you go, everybody. All right, we're going to wrap it up. Tomorrow, we got a lot of stuff coming up. Lance Storm is on the show. We'll have Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer. And we got some other surprises and fun coming.
Surprises and fun.
You heard me right. Surprises and fun. So get ready, everybody, and we shall talk to you again after a while.
Adios.